Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is going to be podcast 426. I'm cranking them out. And in this podcast, I want to talk about media. And not to be critical of media. And I'm not going to do a long and involved, Marshall McLuhan thing about media. I want to talk about using media. So we're going to do that. Using media and the stuff that we do when we use media and what we're watching, what I'm watching, and how it's different from what it was when I was growing up in podcast 426. It is gorgeous out here. Now, last night, when I did podcast 425, I was really kind of pacing around inside the broadcast bunker like a cat on a hot tin roof because I couldn't get out here. It was too windy. And it was just when it's really windy, I can't do podcasts outside with this particular device because it's just too, you just hear too much of the wind in the trees. But it is absolutely gorgeous out here tonight. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning, which is my go time, and I'm sitting out here on the deck. I've got my origami fire, and I'm enjoying just hanging out here and enjoying a beautiful fall night. It was 75 today, according to a car thermometer that I was in, and it's probably 50 out here, but if you have a little fire, it's fabulous. So I'm sitting on the deck, and I'm enjoying the origami fire and enjoying the final moments of the warm weather in the early fall, the mid-fall of 2015. And this is the time of the year that we become aware that the seasons are going to change. And of course, when it's like this and it kind of rolls along like this and you don't really notice it and it doesn't, it's a big surprise when Thanksgiving rolls around and suddenly it hits, right? And you get a snowstorm or the temperature drops rapidly and then we're into December and January. So this is the time to get your heating and your water heater checked and get your plumbing checked and everything else in preparation for the thing that we call winter in the upper Midwest, which of course is the global cooling event. What do we call it? Winter is coming. The little ice age that we call winter. And so I have to remind you to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating get out and check your heating system, your water heater, and your plumbing for winter because you want to make sure that the system works. And while they're at it, ask them about making your heating system more efficient with Smart Tech because they can upgrade you and end up saving a lot of money during the winter season. Believe it or not, you'd be surprised at how just some changes in terms of Smart Tech can save you a lot of money during the winter. So here's the number to call Ryan Plumbing, and especially have him check the water heater. You don't want plumbing and heating problems during the winter season. It's a giant pain, and the best way to avoid it is to have them check it now. 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, you call 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul, that means the suburbs too. So we're talking about Plymouth, we're talking about Invergrove, we're talking about South St. Paul. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Residential and especially business. If you have a business, if you have a bunch of homes, if you are renting out homes, if you have the kind of business where plumbing is important, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating when you need them for emergency service and have them come out and check everything before it starts to get cold on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol where they've always been. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. And thanks, Greg Ryan, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So this podcast will have a little bit different tone because I thought I would just do a fun podcast about how media has changed since I grew up. And the reason for that is, the New Thinking Podcast and future New Thinking Podcasts will be a little bit more considered. That was kind of a rant. And, when you're just talking and you haven't really thought about it, and I had so many disjointed conversations about that stuff that it gets kind of confusing to listen to, and I know because I listened to it a couple times, and it gets a little confusing, but, you know, I had to do it because I had to get it out. And, you know, you're not doing your job as a podcaster if you're not living your life in a real sense through the podcast a little bit. And I don't mean living life to do the podcast. I mean giving you guys a little illumination as to what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and why it's important. And, you know, I am frustrated with politics. It's all I can do to, you know, I look at the news, as I've said, and I don't want to go on about politics in this podcast because I want to talk about media. But I look at the news and I see what's going on, and there's a lot of things that I could talk about, and there's a lot of things I could say, and I'll probably do a podcast on current political events later on this week. But, you know, it's hard because when you've observed the political process as long as I have and worked in it and seen it, it's hard when you're not hearing what you need to hear. And I'm not even sure what I want to hear. I guess I'll know it when I hear it, but and I'll leave it at that. But I appreciate the comments on new thinking and look forward to talking about that when I go out to speak. But this is an interesting time because I'm heading down to Chicago over the weekend for a high school reunion. And specifically, you know, my high school was gigantic. It was our class had 1,000 kids in it, 999 to be exact, and we don't really have high school reunions. I guess they do, but I don't go to those. But I worked, we had a little radio station at my high school, and it was actually a really successful vocational training program, to tell you the truth, because most of the people that were in the program were actually worked in the business and were very successful in the business, and that's pretty cool. So we're going to have a high school reunion with the radio station people, and I'm going down to Chicago for that. And I got to thinking about all the places that I've worked and all the things that I've done in this business, because I've done a lot of different things. And it's perfect for someone who's hyperactive. I'm actually breaking up branches here to put in the fire. But when you're hyperactive, like I am, ADHD, hyper, I had all that stuff before anybody knew what it was. I remember being told not to eat anything with red dye number 2 in it, and they gave me Ritalin, which I didn't want to take, and everything else. So I'm all over the road, and always have been. So I got to do lots and lots of different things. And it got to me to start thinking about radio and media and, you know, how we consume media today versus the old days. And, you know, I can remember when I was a kid, and some of you who are in the sort of the same era and a little bit later will remember this. You sat down in front of the television, and if you were lucky, you had a color TV. We didn't have a color TV. we had a black and white TV. I don't even think it was very big. For a long time, we had this tiny black and white television that we just moved around, and that's what we watched television on. And I would try to go to my friends' houses because they had color TVs, because we could watch shows like Man from U.N.C.L.E. or something like that, or Star Trek or whatever on color TV. So most of the TV shows, you know, that I watched when I was growing up were in black and white. And of course, they came on at a specific time, and you had to be in front of the television to watch them. There was no time shifting. We didn't have VCRs. We didn't have any way to do. I remember taping. I had a tape recorder. And I've often told this story. My grandfather bought these two reel-to-reel tape machines way early. I don't know where he got them. And he mailed one to us and said, "You guys take this, and we're going to make tapes, and we'll send the tapes to each other." Because at the time, calling, you know, person-to-person calls were really expensive. You know, telephone calls, long-distance telephone calls were really expensive, and he didn't like spending money. So he mailed us this tape recorder, and our job was to do these tapes and prepare these tapes for my grandfather, and then he would send us his reply. So we were supposed to mail these little reel-to-reel tapes back and forth. That lasted for about 2 times, and then somehow or another, the tape recorder ended up in my hands. which was I used that thing for years to do exactly what I'm doing now. That's what's so funny about it, is I was probably 8 and I had that tape recorder, 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, and I had that tape recorder. I bugged my sister's room. I've often talked about that. And then the other thing that I did was we used to take it into the bathroom, and we would do shows. We would do TV shows, and we would do dramatizations where somebody was trapped in a lake or in some sort of coal mine where there was water or something, and my sister and I would do dramatizations. We did these different shows that we would watch on television on this terribly small, listen to that, that's the fire, black and white TV. And you had to sit in front of the TV to watch it. It came on at whatever time. And I remember my dad never missed an episode of Star Trek, which is really odd considering that, you know, a lot of guys didn't. They were watching baseball because we didn't watch sports in my family. He watched the one university football game a year, and that was Ohio State because he went to Ohio State and he loved Ohio State. So we watched the Ohio State game every year. Well, he did. I never did. I didn't have any interest in that. But I watched Adam 12 and I watched Star Trek and Man from U.N.C.L.E. and It Takes a Thief and all that stuff. And of course, you watch the news. And most of the time, we were summoned to come downstairs because a show was coming on, you know, whether it was some late night TV show or whatever. And as television progressed, you know, over the years, you watched TV when a show came on. But most of the time, we just listened to the radio or listened to records. So we were, sort of steeped in the music and listening to the radio and listening to different radio stations. And I would lay in bed at night and do something called DXing, where you'd listen for faraway radio stations. And I can remember listening to WLW in Cincinnati and WWL in New Orleans and various other stations that kind of came in. We lived in Chicago, so it was kind of hard to get faraway radio stations, given the fact that there were so many radio stations in the city in Chicago at the time. But there was a lot of listening to the radio. But here's the thing about media then. You listened to what was coming out of the media. You didn't have really any control over what was coming out of the media. As I've often talked about, the radio stations were the cultural centers, especially for young people. And this was a time when, you know, 50% of the population of the United States was between 12 and 17 years old, maybe even more than that at one point, depending on what year you're talking about. So there were a lot of kids who listened to the radio, and that's the way they referred to us. As the audience was kids. That's how they called you. And it's just, as we grew up, it's just very interesting how the media changed. And today, we're in a completely different world. And I love this world that we're in. And of course, I'm not going to go through the whole history. I'm not going to do the cavalcade of broadcasting history. But I think the main thing about today's media that I find fascinating is that we're no longer tethered to a broadcast schedule, and we're no longer tethered to listening to something that is the cultural center. We pick and choose what our cultural centers will be, whether it's social media and different kinds of social media for different things, Twitter and Facebook, which I don't like because I don't find the interaction to be pleasurable. I do like Instagram. I think Instagram's great. I'm kind of enjoying YouTube lately. I don't know why. I'm starting to really spend a lot of time on YouTube, and I think it's just because of the smartphone. Is, you know, at some point you have to stop watching television, and you have to go to bed. So then I can't go to sleep, and so I'll sit there and I'll watch things on YouTube, and I become fascinated with product or, you know, media categories on YouTube. And I think they're just amazing. I've become fascinated with the tarot card and the astrology categories, not because I'm so into having someone predict the future, which is nonsense, but just the different permutations of people and what they do. And they are so funny, the things that they say. I find that whole thing fascinating. But you can sit down now in front of television, and you can watch you can watch an enormous amount of programming in one evening because there's no waiting for commercials. And I cut the cable a long time ago. I don't have cable TV, and I don't have cable TV for a lot of reasons. Not the least of which is I don't want to be bothered with commercials. But the most is I don't want to be sitting there and having somebody from Fox News. Or from CNN pushing programming in my face where I have to sit there and watch it. That's exhausting to me. So in any given night, I can sit there and I can watch a ton of shows, and it's really cool. I can watch all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to, just for fun, because I know you're going to be different. I know that you will have different shows that you watch. Some of you will watch the same shows that I watch, but most people will have different shows. And this is the thing that's interesting about the media experience in America today, which is actually very rich, if you stop and think about it. It's not. I need to find some more wood here for my origami fire. I'm not saying that it's great media, you know? I'm not saying that all these shows are great and that you should watch all these shows, because you're just going to watch whatever you want to watch. I'm down here in the little forest, the 100-acre wood by the podcast bunker. But you'll watch whatever you want to watch, you know, and you like your shows and I like mine. And that's what's interesting about all of this, is people have different things that they watch. And this is only going to get more pronounced as we go forward. You know, my son, for example, has been watching all the Star Trek Next Gens because he thinks that it's really a cool show. He's never seen it before. So he's really excited about Star Trek Next Gen now. You know, and you end up like, if you, oh my God, this is, okay. You end up watching, you know, different shows at different times instead of what they want us to watch. So why do I bring this up? I bring it up because we're having not a collective experience anymore. So, for example, almost everyone remembers, of a certain age, they either remember the Challenger disaster, which most people watched on television, or they remember the Kennedy assassination, or everybody remembers watching 9/11 on television, and of course, what was the other thing I was going to mention? Oh yeah, all the moonshots and stuff were a collective experience, whereas today, all of our collective experiences are generally football games or one-time, one-off events that are so compelling that people run to a television, which doesn't happen too often. So we'll talk about what I'm watching, and we can compare notes. I'll tell you what's really interesting is I just put some leaves in here briefly, and one of the things you never smell anymore is the smell of burning leaves, because we don't burn leaves anymore. And it's one of the, for me, burning leaves is like this nostalgic smell that takes me way back, because we don't burn leaves anymore. So it's kind of fun to put some leaves in the origami fire. But I have to mention that, you know, sometimes I think, boy, wouldn't it be great to own all kinds of property that gave you income, and all you could do, if you wanted to, all you had to do was sit on the deck and watch YouTube and drink coffee and not think about, oh, wait, that is my life, except I don't have any income property, but I do that anyway. So I have to mention that, you know, it is true that history demonstrates that the path to personal wealth is through property ownership primarily. Many continue to rent out there while waiting to purchase their first home or move up to their next home. And the reality of the real estate market today is that in the last 5 years or so, and this is going to continue because more houses are going to come on the market, there have been many foreclosures and houses sitting empty for a long time. And there's also been a lot of houses renovated by fly-by-night house flippers. And in order to really make a good buy, you need someone to help you negotiate that risk. You need real estate professionals that understand the market, which is why I want to talk about prideofhomes.com. The other thing is, interest rates have been near historically low levels for many years. There's pressure to increase them. They may increase them in December. So this is the time to take advantage of low interest rates if you're in the market for real estate or someone close to you is considering buying their first home. I want to introduce prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis podcast. As the plane goes over my head, PrideOfHomes.com is a husband and wife licensed real estate agent team and a real estate investor with expertise to share with you. So here's the deal. Reach out to Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate and PrideOfHomes.com. They're in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Champlin, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, and the North Metro Corridor. I've talked about these guys for quite a while. First of all, you need real estate expertise. And if you're looking for that, think Eric and Aram Lucero with Luke Team Real Estate. Visit their website today at prideofhomes.com. You can click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast, picture of Eric and Aram right there, or you can reach out to them and call them at 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. Also want to mention the digital sponsors of the Bob Davis podcasts. These are sponsors that sponsor the podcast exclusively digitally. It's probably the best deal that I offer for advertisers, and then I mention you in the podcast. Now, we have a lot of pilots listening to the Bob Davis podcasts, right? So I want to thank Alpha Systems. And if you're a pilot, the whole thing is being safe and having things in your avionics package that help you be safe, especially on takeoffs and landings. Alpha System makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. And if you've ever heard the story of the creator of Alpha Systems, Mark Koren, and his experience as sort of the lightning bolt that caused him to design this system, then you'll know that it had to do with falling out of the sky. And if you contact Alpha Systems, I'm sure he'll tell you that story. Click on the Alpha Systems banner for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. Here's what I'm watching on television, and I put quotes around television because I'm watching it through the television. But it's amazing when you it's happened to me is I've gotten down to the dregs of Netflix. I've exhausted almost all of the things to watch on Netflix, and the reason is I'm an insomniac. I mean, I stay up all night, and when I finish my work, especially if I finish a podcast, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning out here. I'm wide awake. I'll finish this podcast. I'll let the origami fire burn down and close the top on the little fireplace thing and go in there and watch television until 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning because I can't settle down, and I've exhausted everything to watch on Netflix. But what have I been watching? I have two or three different shows that I really enjoy on iTunes. Obviously, Game of Thrones, I think, is an incredible show. Game of Thrones, everybody's watching Game of Thrones these days at various times. Homeland is still a great show. You know, the guy that I think was the guy. Yeah, one of the creators of Homeland died. And I thought after that happened, you know, the show would suffer. And it really actually is almost better. It's weird. So I've watched and subscribed to Homeland. I love Ray Donovan. You know, these are really wild shows, but I love them. Love Ray Donovan. Of course, The Walking Dead. People watch. You know, it's funny because different people have different reactions. A lot of people's like, I have no desire to see that show, and I love The Walking Dead because I think it's a show. There's a lot of social commentary in Walking Dead without there being a lot of social commentary. But the other thing that you need to watch if you're watching The Walking Dead is Fear the Walking Dead, which is the prequel to the current series. So you get to see kind of what happened as it happened, and that's got just as much great social commentary in it. I love that. What else do I subscribe to? I tell you what I watched like 2 weeks ago. I watched all of them. It is this Gotham, which is the prequel to Batman and the Batman movie series. And it's a Marvel show. And it's so weird and so frightening and so bizarre and so weird and twisted that I don't know whether I would recommend Gotham or not. But I watch all these shows because I'm also a writer, as you know, if you've listened to the audiobook. So I love watching these shows in terms of figuring out how they're constructed and, you know, how it works and everything else. Love watching that. I think Gotham is actually turning into a great show, even though it's not very pleasant. If you're faint of heart and you are worried about things that you see on television, I'd be worried about that. I certainly wouldn't watch it with a kid, that's for sure. And none of these shows are kid shows, by the way. Been watching a lot of documentaries, and I've been watching a lot of these music documentaries. stories. And of course, I love them. There's one about Muscle Shoals, which is the Muscle Shoals recording studio down in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. That's a fantastic show about entrepreneurialism and life challenges and small town guys making hit records, which I think is fantastic. There's one in there. I just watched the Keith Richard one that kind of is a chronicle. It's not really a chronicle. It's just kind of Keith Richards doing what he does. And I was never, I'm not going to say I wasn't a fan of the Rolling Stones because I love the Stones. And actually, if you want to see two Stones type documentaries, the Keith Richard one is great, but there's another one about the making of Exile on Main Street, which oddly enough, I love the story because the Rolling Stones were taxed to death in England because the tax rate in England was something like, you know, 95%. And the band was broke at one point and they moved to France to get away from the tax regime in England. And they rented a house on the south of France and on the coast, and they produced and made Exile on Main Street. And when it came out, nobody liked it. They thought it was horrible. And if you listen to it now, it's a great album. And they produced that album. They had a mobile truck. And they produced that album, you know, in the basement of the house, and they recorded it. And oddly enough, I think the mobile truck was an ambulance. I think the mobile truck was an old ambulance that they converted it to a mobile recording studio for, you know, to keep the board and the recording equipment and everything else. That's kind of cool. And then there's a connection to that because there's an article, there's a documentary about Deep Purple, which you guys may remember did Smoke on the Water and My Woman from Tokyo and everything else. And Lazy and all these great, you know, kind of progressive rock tunes from the 70s. And they borrowed the Stones' mobile truck because it was in the south of France when they went to Montreux to play in this show with Frank Zappa. And some guy threw some kind of flare. He had a flare inside this casino at Montreux, and he burned the place down. That's what Smoke on the Water is about. And they ended up at this hotel, and they borrowed this. They had 4 weeks to record this album, and they borrowed the Stones' mobile truck because they weren't using it at that point for Exile on Main Street, and they recorded that album. I think that's kind of cool. And I don't know if it was at the same time or I don't remember. You know, there's things about these documentaries. What else did I see? There's a great one about Glenn Campbell's last tour because he had Alzheimer's, and I was never a fan of Glenn Campbell, but after I watched this documentary, I thought it was fabulous. And then last night, I've been relegated to watching I'm now down to watching the PBS documentaries about royalty and the London Underground and the Royal Bed. So that's what, you know, and the thing is, you are able, this is what I love about this. You're able in this form of media to, this way that we consume media today, you are able to go off on your flights of fancy as far as they take you to whatever dangerous point that it takes you. You're able to go as far as you want to go, as long as you want to. You can sit up all night and watch, you know, every single Adam 12 or every single Miami Vice, which I've already done, that you want to watch, or every single Star Trek Next Gen, which actually I'm going to have to do. Or every single whatever, you know, that you have a desire to watch, every single Walking Dead, if you want to watch them over again, all the Mad Men, all of these shows. And so these shows, because they're binge viewed, because we don't wait for them to come out every week. And what's interesting, I'll tell you, there's two shows that used to be shows that you would wait every week for. One was The Sopranos, which I still think is probably one of the best shows on television. Breaking Bad kind of started along those lines because I think I still had cable when Breaking Bad came out. And, of course, Mad Men, that you would wait until Sunday night when Mad Men would come out to watch it, or whenever the show, I guess Monday, or whenever the show actually came on HBO, you'd watch it. And now you don't have to do that anymore. Well, what's happened is these shows, regardless, you know, people are watching these at different times. And these shows, this is where it's through drama, really, today. And I think this is what's really interesting about all this, that it's through drama that these ideas are really actually being transmitted. They're not being transmitted really through the shout fests on these other shows. And people, I think what's happening with the people watching Fox News and CNN is that they have to cool down from watching that by watching something else, and watching something that's really a complete departure from that. And through drama and through storytelling, you have an opportunity to examine issues that you don't have because so much of what's being happening on news television, so-called news television, which is really not even infotainment, it's just becoming a freak show is what it is. And people are watching it because they want to watch people fail, I think. Those are so emotional and so driven by, the on-the-come sort of statements that the real in-depth stuff is through drama. And I there's a lot of people watching these shows as relief from the other stuff they're watching. Now, my friend Nick Ludwig, and if you listen to the interview that I did with Nick, you'll hear him talk about this is really a form of escapism in our society, that this is as much bread and circuses as anything else, that if we're experiencing the world through the TV screen, then we're missing a lot of stuff, and that this becomes a form of going to sleep. This is a form of soma, to turn a phrase that we engage in, and I freely engage in it. I mean, to me, it's very much a drug with me in terms of enjoying these dramatic shows and consuming them, and then when they're consumed, searching frantically for something else to watch because I love it. I mean, I just think it's fantastic. And sometimes I'm trying to get away from the social commentary. Sometimes, depending on where my spirit is on a particular day, in other words, where my energy is, if I've done a lot of yoga, I want to consume information, but I don't want to consume screaming and yelling kinds of information. And then I'll watch documentaries on, the Israeli Air Force, or documentaries on, history stuff, but not History Channel stuff because I don't like it, except for the one on the American capitalists, which I've talked about a couple times, Henry Ford, or watching the Steve Jobs interview when he was just about ready to go back to Apple. Stuff like that's interesting. And that was a YouTube thing. And the other thing is that Mitch will come over and we'll sit there and watch, 4 hours of YouTube footage that somebody shot at O'Hare Airport in 1953 and try to see if we can catch a glimpse of, if my dad was there or something weird like that. Or, there's all kinds of stuff. So there's so much stuff to watch, YouTube and everything else, that we've really started to experience, our life through those things. But I'll just finish by saying this. I think media is everything. I think if you think of your life as media, in other words, walking is a form of media. What are you doing? You're walking. If you're walking through the leaves, which I will go do because it's worth listening to that sound, the sound of me walking down the steps, the sound of me walking in the leaves. This is a form of media. This is a real experience. And so if you're going to watch a lot of television and you're going to experience all those different things, in addition to that, and I think it's perfectly normal to do that, and I'm not going to criticize people that do because, of course, I do, it's really important to get out and have a real experience. And I think we forget to do that. And that's why it's always good when I hear that my friend down in Arizona, Andy, is enjoying lots and lots of Netflix, that I also find out that he spends a lot of time going up into the forests north of Payson and into the pine forests and going out and camping and experiencing the outdoors and stuff, because we kind of have to balance all of this in order to kind of deal with it. And then there's people that just don't watch any television. I mean, it's kind of a waste of time to tell you that. I mean, I do because I'm learning how these shows are put together and it's helping me. And you'll hear it to a certain extent in the Chieftain audiobook. You'll hear a little of you'll hear a little of my, experience in learning about television shows. But I don't want to go to sleep, but I'll tell you what, TV was really cool and exciting when I was a kid. I remember seeing the Beatles on television. I remember seeing the Elvis special when he came back. I remember the moonshots. I remember the Watergate hearings, all of that. And those were shared collective experiences. And I think the main thing is that we don't have shared collective experiences in real time anymore. We have shared collective experiences with the different tribes that are watching these different shows at different times and taking away whatever they want because they're watching them in their own sort of hermetically sealed world experiencing this. And I'm not judging it negatively because that's, you know, people will say, you know what the problem is today? It's these kids that are texting. You know, texting is a form of media. Snapchat is a form of media. Games are a form of media. And there are messages being communicated through those forms of different media. And they're just as effective for communicating messages in certain ways than other stuff. And, you know, what I don't watch is I really don't watch a lot of comedy, although I just watched two documentaries, one about Robin Williams and one about Richard Pryor. And Richard Pryor, I just love Richard Pryor and what he did. But the thing that's interesting is that if you watch comedy, it's the same thing. South Park is a commentary show. It's just there's just as much rich commentary in South Park, for example, that applies in the political realm way more than Saturday Night Live, which is overt or anything else. Some of these comedians and some of these shows like American Family or whatever it's called or American Dad or I don't even know these shows because I don't watch comedy. But if you watch comedy, there's just as much content being communicated through those shows as there is in any news show. So I'll just leave you with that. It's just some stuff to think about when it comes to media, and love to hear your comments at thebobdavispodcast.com. You just go to the comments page and comment, and I'd love to hear what you think, and I appreciate the donations. I had mentioned in the last podcast that I'm getting ready to head back out for winter operations. The mobile podcast command unit, as we speak, is getting the oil changed, and we're putting some new tires on the back, and we're going to get ready for winter operations, heading out down to the Iowa caucus right after the beginning of February, then to South Carolina, which is another early primary state, and then, of course, to Florida. I'm going to go all the way from the tip of the top of Florida, southern Georgia, all the way down to the Keys. And I want to really get into Florida a little bit because Florida is going to be a pivotal state in this election, just as it always is. But I think this time it's going to be really important. And then coming back up through the panhandle on up into New Orleans and Texas and back to Minnesota. And of course, there's going to be some great podcasts from the road. And I'm really looking forward to doing those. I'm putting some effort and thought into how I'm going to do it and where I'm going to go. And of course, I really appreciate your donations in preparation for and during winter operations, which is coming up not too far away from now. So thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. You just click on the donate button under the mobile podcast. Podcast Command picture, which is the Ford Super Duty ambulance. And, I'm also taking that thing out in the neighborhood and in the area, so you may see me riding around. So thanks for your donations, and thanks for listening to Podcast 425. Of course, sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating. It's really dark. I had the fire up for a while, but now it's kind of dark out here, so I got to move over to where I can see because I did not memorize the telephone numbers for the sponsors of this particular podcast, so I gotta move my papers around. But I want to thank prideofhomes.com for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. Here's the deal. If you're looking for real estate, you have to have people that understand the market. And the main thing is, like I said, there's a lot of houses sitting on the market and they or have been flipped. And you have to have people that understand what's going on with these houses. That's the main thing. You need real estate professionals that understand the market. So reach out to Eric and Aaron Lucera with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com in the North and Northwest Metro for real estate expertise. Eric and Aaron Lucero and Luke Team Real Estate, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100, and you can click on the banners. It'll take you to their website, and it'll give you all the information that you need. And, of course, let's not forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. And here's the deal. I'll just tell you, winter's coming, and we're going to have a little ice age no matter what kind of winter we're going to have, and you want to make sure your heating system works, you want to make sure your plumbing's been checked, and you want to make sure your water heater has been checked because, and I've had the experience, believe me, you do not want frozen pipes. You do not want water heater problems in the middle of January. It is really not something that is an enjoyable experience. So have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come out, check your heating, your water heater, and your plumbing, and get ready for winter. You can call them in St. Paul at 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, Metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means means the suburbs too for four generations. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, and thanks, Greg, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. And thanks to you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn, blogtalkradio.com. And I'm going to have another little announcement. Well, I don't know. This might be a big announcement coming up here pretty soon regarding another type of podcast that I'm going to do and post. And I'm not going to tell you any more than that, but it's actually pretty cool. And there's going to be some opportunities, not just for me, but for clients of the Bob Davis podcast. So that's going to be really cool. Advertising clients. So you might want to contact me about that. And thanks for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, where I am bdavis7843. And actually, Instagram is my favorite social media. And again, thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. They're keeping me in Komodo Dragon Coffee. Thanks for listening. I think the fire's down. And I think I can close this thing and go turn on the Dream Machine and watch some TV.